Lowe's knows you want the best for dad. This Father's Day, help him take on any project with big deals on DeWalt. Right now, get a free XR 8 amp hour battery when you buy select DeWalt tools. That's not all. Get up to two free select tools when you buy a select DeWalt 20 volt max battery kit. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a work load is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18. Memorial Day deals are here at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances, including Samsung. Plus, save an extra $50 on every $500 you spend on select major appliances, $396 or more. Like the Samsung Bespoke AI Laundry Combo, the largest capacity, fastest, all-in-one laundry combo available that washes and dries in one machine. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 5/15 through 6/18. Selection varies by location. Total savings varies based on purchase amount. See Lowe's.com for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Yo! Hour number two. Hot. 844-843-6879. Sam Eiler out here balling. No, what do you think?
All right, JP, you're obviously busy this segment. You're going to hang out with us. But we also need a research team on how to say, I've always thought it was Sam Ellinger, but you know that, you know this, JP. DRS spends hours looking up research how to say people's name.
Yeah.
So you kept saying Eilinger.
Yeah, let me see.
So I was like, all right, I guess he's got it right. Like, I'm trying to be laughed at.
Yeah, pull a clip for Sam.
Yeah, can you pull a clip?
Yep.
JP, is someone saying his name? All right, good stuff out of you. Now we got to guess, but is that priority or is the.
Yeah, that's priority.
That's priority.
Yeah.
All right.
Pull a clip where they say Sam Eilinger, all right?
Let's talk coffee then. Let's go. Let's talk coffee then, because there's a lot of comments coming in online.
Yeah.
And I think right now you and I are on. We agree, but we're kind of on opposite reactions to what people are saying.
Yeah, but those people, you're getting the squeaky wheel. Like everybody else, like, you know, that's a great take there. So you don't have to fire a tweet in. Like when the thing that gets the most action is.
You are a gang maniac, dude. You really are.
That's the squeaky wheel, man.
You really
people
are.
People that get upset,
man.
The one or two people that are upset with that take fired in. Everybody else is in the car going, you know what? My boy Donnie and Kevin are talking about ice. Yeah, you know, I'm pulling in the dunk and get me an ice frappuccino.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So here's my thing, right? Someone said that we have the palate of children. I actively tell people that is the case all the time.
Yeah,
I think that the ability to eat spicy food is a superpower, and hot stuff to me just does not fly. I act as if I've been shot. So I don't. I mean, it's slander, but it's true. So it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt the heart. I agree with you. I have a child's palate. It doesn't even make sense. I'm very sensitive. And then someone else said, flavored iced coffee is not coffee, it's dessert. I see no slander. I love dessert. I love where your head's at.
Me too.
I mean, that's a good time. That's a great time. So, again, I don't find it slander. Now, the guy who said his second love in this life after his wife was black hot coffee.
That's just ridiculous.
I mean,
Yeah. It's a maniac.
I mean, we got to be opening you up to some other items in life. Even, I'm just... Black hot coffee can't be number two. I mean, you ever have ice cream? I mean, come on now. Let's get the appropriate items out.
All right, JP, hit it. Hit the play button. Go ahead.
From Sam Ellinger from 50 yards.
Yeah, man, you're a clown.
This is all
where do you come up with Eilinger? Selling me under a bus.
The guy's just a two-bit quarterback. Don't worry about his name. We worry about real people's names. Don't worry. You say that name however you want. He'll be out of the league in 2 years.
Man.
You say it however you want.
You know what's funny is this is where it's kind of like a paper tiger, like where like a team's get highly ranked in college football, but everyone knows they haven't really played anybody.
Yes.
Like you come up with the Jose Barrios and Sandy Alcantara stuff.
Yes.
And it's made you an authority on names.
Yeah.
But
they
I don't
have
think
to
you even
correct.
Know what you're talking about, honestly, when it comes to names anymore.
Yeah, but those names were brought up like 75 times a year. Like Sam Eilinger, which now I'm going to call him Eilinger on purpose now.
Yeah, so it's Ellinger. Of course it's Ellinger.
Yeah.
But I would just, Shout out to anyone that's listening. I hope you have my back and you understand all the slander that's come my way.
You were back. You're the college football show guy, and you were backing me up. So I just figured, let's go with it.
Well, I wasn't. I wasn't hosting college football today when he was rocking in Texas. But two, I still host college football today and get slandered on that show for how I say names.
Yeah.
So.
I don't think college football counts, though. So we just remove, you know what I mean? Like hockey, maybe basketball.
Look, I don't like throwing people too far under the bus, but I think you have a blind spot for quarterbacks. There are other names that you can't say.
Like who? Who else?
You can't say Winston's first name.
Jameis?
You say Jameis, and if you say you don't, you're lying.
Jameis Winston. Come on.
You say Jameis. You say Jameis.
I might not be able to spell his name.
You have since I've met you. I told people about it. I go, look, man, DR's a little wild. He says Jameis Winston. It's kind of crazy.
I don't know about that.
And you say Sam Darnold. And you say Sam Darnold.
That was a tough mess. Yeah, but that's not fair, though, because that name just doesn't make sense the way you look at it, man. that one's a little bit out there. I mean, you want to talk, do you know who gets me from that name too? It's a baseball name, which thank God the Braves are knocked out because I couldn't stand saying Travis Darnold's name. I mean, that guy's driving me wild.
But that's Jesus. Travis Darnold's name is how you say Sam Darnold's name.
These French names, get out of town, man. They don't count either. They don't count either. I mean, I'm telling you, like Sam Darnold was such a tough name for like a year and a half. To try, and it was like, just say Arnold with a D. All right, that makes sense. But I love the fact, like, when he was just starting to get legs and it was Sam Darno. Tremendous. Tremendous.
But, like, also, like, you, I mean, for you to say these French names is really.
Get them out of here, man. Darno is killing me, man.
I mean, these are a couple of guys from California.
Travis Darnold. It's a tough scene out here, man. That guy's going to come back into my life. But it did take me a little bit to get that guy's name.
You're banned on names. You're on a one-week name ban. I'm now the authority. Brian Daboll or DeBowl. I mean, how do you say that guy's
name? That was a
tough
one for a year, too, for you.
Please, get him out of here.
I mean, everybody's favorite Cy Young pitcher, Jason Verlander. I mean, he gets after it. People get after it.
Well, that's you, though. That's you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've heard that many times by people.
Meanwhile, though, Don, tell people why he beat out Shane McClanahan for the Cy Young.
I mean, nobody even knows who that guy is. Not even the voters, man. It's pretty clear. And by the way, if they misprint like Jason and Justin Verlander, he'd split his votes too. Like, which Verlander's the better one? One of them. Maybe it's Ben Verlander. Who knows? We'll be right back here. It's Moneyline in the Afternoon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it here. Hour number two on Moneyline. 844-843-6879. If you want to get involved, October, Halloween, Reese's Pieces, everything goes with that.
Reese's. If they do a commercial where the Reese's guy says the name 100 times, Reese's.
Ah. Yeah, but that's the cups though. Reese's Pieces, completely different. Hold on, don't have me to go down this path and explain it to you. JP, where are we going in the NBA tonight?
Dang it.
Sharp side.
I texted him and asked, "What are the odds that you bring him back?"
Yeah, see that? Yeah, exactly.
Neither one of us.
I think I don't pay attention, pal.
Wow. Yeah, I can't believe I'm here right now. I'm going with the Pistons on the money line.
Oh wow, 188. Yeah, never. I like that. Like that's going with gusto.
Now, I just want to say, I didn't get to guess, right? And you made two. Now, but I wouldn't have got that correct. What I was actually really, really rooting for was that your initial Warriors guess that you somehow talked yourself out of was going to
be
correct.
That would have claimed it then, too.
And so you had so out of eight teams, you guessed three of them and still got it wrong. Impressive.
I was trying to cover the board tonight.
Yeah, you didn't. JP, the breakdown on Detroit?
Yeah, they've been fine, other than their transition defense for the most part this year. I think they're going to get shored up, and I don't really trust the Wizards at home. They're a young team; those usually fare well on the road. So they're in a pretty good spot, I think, to cover it on the money line.
All right, there we go.
How about that? A little outright situation. How about that?
Get it going here. All right, what did I do here? All right, now I got this stuff set up. Four games in the NBA tonight.
Yes.
7 o'clock, 7:30, 8 and 10. So nice spread out here. Golden State Warriors, Phoenix Suns, to me, is the more fun. Now, Dallas Mavericks, New Orleans Pelicans, if the Pelicans were full gas, I think that would have been a pretty fun, entertaining game to watch. Still might be entertaining, but without the superstars, takes a little bit of a hit. Anytime Golden State Warriors play anybody, it just feels like a big event and a big game. Slight favor there to the Suns. Kind of interesting to me.
Yeah, I think the Suns should be favored at home. Look, I've decided I'm going to make my own declarations as to how much home court is worth across the sports that I'm evaluating. I think it's probably less in the NBA over an 82-game season. Postseason, maybe it's a little different. But, you know, if I put the Phoenix Suns and the Golden State on the Golden State Warriors on a neutral court, would you go pick them or would you shade Warriors?
In what respect?
On a neutral court.
Yeah, no, shade the Warriors. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. And maybe that is what the odds makers are seeing as well. But for me, I would still think, at least based on obviously everything that they were able to accomplish last season, in the regular season, Phoenix would be seen as even, if not even a tick above. I know Golden State at a plus price is always going to be attractive for people here. My lean is towards the Suns. But I'm looking at this under. The only thing is, we're continuing to see the numbers rise, though, on this total. Over right now. Which is, I wish we sometimes got those percentages on the totals on the FanDuel Sportsbook. We only ever get side. But last year, we saw these teams play.
Let's see.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, we saw these teams play unders. And I think that this will kind of have that big environment. And that's the direction that I'm leading here is towards another under right now, 226.5.
Latest numbers coming in, 72% of the bets coming in on the over.
How many?
But 72% of the tickets are on the over, but over money is only 48%.
Oh my goodness.
The bigger tickets coming in on the under, which is usually the case. Because what that tells you is, betting public, $5, $10, $25, $100, over. Serious money coming in on the under, though, like doubling down.
But that's odd because the total keeps rising. Wouldn't that usually then lead to 226, to 225.5, to 225?
You would think, but we're always led to believe that it's not actually the size that's pushing the number around. It's the accounts pushing the number around, if that makes sense. Like, you could get a guy that you're like, man, this guy really knows what he's talking about, but he only bets like $200 a game. He goes in on an, oh, man, yeah, okay, let's move it a little bit here. Dave will tell you that, too. So you could have the, like, hey, who's this guy? I don't know. Some rich guy who's a hedge fund wants about $1 million on the over. All right, we might even raise the number. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or lower the number, I should say.
Right. No, that's an interesting point there. Yeah, my lean all day has been under those. You know me. That's not the end all be all for me, but I don't mind it, right? Kind of that reverse splits there.
Mm-hmm.
I think under in the game.
By the way, opening tomorrow, opening line, Los Angeles Lakers, Denver Nuggets. Can you guess what that line is?
Where's the game?
Denver.
Nuggets 7?
6.5, DraftKings.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, Denver is preseason one of the most hyped teams in the NBA. Not living up to expectations. Perfect at right spot, the Los Angeles Lakers.
Mm.
That's usually where teams like to get right. You know, the Lakers didn't open up this year with an easy schedule. Mavericks right now are a pretty 4-0 with wins over both Denver and Phoenix to pair along with their wins over the Lakers and Kings. And those Lakers and Kings wins are on the road. So the Lakers have not played a bad basketball team. No Rockets, no Magic, okay? No Thunder, no Pistons. They have not played any teams like that yet.
Mm-hmm.
But, and they've been competitive now in consecutive games as well. It doesn't matter. The Lakers with LeBron are not supposed to get moral victories while sitting at an 0-4, 0-5, 0-6.
Yeah, heating up. I like these narratives early in the season because you get that malaise during the NBA, you know what I mean, around the holidays or just after the holidays, I should say, February and stuff. But it's fun to talk about these huge swings early where a team is 1-2. It feels like the end of the world, but knowing they have like 80 games left to play, they're fun to talk about. Now, I want to talk about this one thing because this just caught my attention. Every time, you know, we're just scrolling around FanDuel trying to find some, you know, bets or props to talk about. Weekly specials in the NFL this week. There's a couple of them already out. I look at a few of them, like I really don't care for too many of them. But this one popped up, and it's one I've been waiting for as a way to bet almost. And if it's boot, I'll see how it matches up Sunday. But usually they throw in a 1.5 or a 2.5, right? You can't just parlay the two quarterbacks. The reason I'm bringing this up, Kyler Murray, Kirk Cousins, playing each other this week in the Dome, Minnesota versus Arizona. There's a weekly special, each to throw two or more touchdown passes. Not first half, second half, just to throw two or more touchdown passes. You get the whole game, plus 300. It actually intrigued me because I haven't seen that wager up yet. I haven't.
Yeah, it's very odd to me because the touchdown passes market is not parlayable inside the game wagers. You have to go to that special market that I know you've kind of started to veer into a little bit, which I could appreciate. So it's hard for me to even equate any kind of value to it because it is just not really ever offered up. And on the surface, I like it. I'm curious, and I know while that's not this bet, but do they allow you to parlay guys to throw just one passing touchdown?
No. Uh-uh.
But that isn't that where the juice is? Like, let me get four or five quarterbacks to throw one?
And also, you'd say to yourself, like, why would you do that as a sports book? Everybody throws one touchdown. Not necessarily, but also, you would have to parlay like six quarterbacks to make it worth your while. And what do we see in the NFL? First quarter, concussion on a quarterback, no touchdown pass, you lost your parlay. I'm surprised books don't offer that, to be honest with you.
How many people, if they would have done that this week, all right, my parlay starts with Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. You lose. Brady didn't throw a touchdown this week. Right?
Correct. Like, you know, when I was looking at that market, he was up there, and I'm saying to myself, I already have a team total. So I didn't want to double down, like, oh, well, he's going to have a big day. Like, no, I already have money on that game. Let me pass. And it would have lost. It honestly would have lost.
It's interesting. I wish it was a market, because that would get me involved. I don't do the two-plus passing touchdowns, but one-plus would be good.
Yeah, I need to hit these markets hard this week. A lot of good stuff to go over. It's hour number two on Moneyline. Hot takes if you got them, including your cold takes on hot coffee. 844-843-6879.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it here on Moneyline, Tuesday afternoon, halfway through hour number two, cruising the board here, trying to find some wagers that make some sense. It's never too early to look towards Sunday. But before we do that, I like Hot Topics even better at this point. And I would be remiss if we don't touch on Tom Brady staying or going in Tampa or just retirement. And the reason I bring this up, because I think it's fascinating. If Tom Brady were to say, in 2 weeks, Kevin, patch things up with Giselle, we're back, family's good, he steps away from the game, retires, that's what he spends his time on, and also going into the booth. Hey, look, I'm going to be away Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but I'm going to be home all week long, spend whatever time we want, raise the kids, go to their football games, baseball games, soccer games, dances, whatever it is. Giselle doesn't come back, he plays another 2 years. At least. Sounds wild, but I believe that.
I hear what you're saying, right? I mean, he clearly has no desire to step away.
Mm-hmm.
I still find, I guess we can, I don't love talking about this, but I guess it is pretty open and relevant to everything going on with him. Do you think that he agreed to retire and then things fell apart, so he said, okay, I'm going to come back? Or do you think he agreed to retire, couldn't live with it, and was like, if you're going to leave me, so be it, but I'm unretiring? Like, I'm trying to, like, the timeline of that.
Yeah, I actually think, like, let's just say you're playing during the season. Love your wife, love your family. You know what? I think I'm going to retire in this offseason. I know you want me to. I think it's probably time at this point. Because you see athletes so many times go, you know, the emotions run high during the season. There's no way I can play again next year. Season ends. You know your normal workout routine in the offseason is about to begin. Mm-hmm. You get that itch. You love the game. You know you can't play it forever. But you know you can get back out on the field. Oh, no. I told my wife and my family I'd be home. Well, let me go out to dinner with the wife and just say, hey, look, here's my thoughts on this. Like, I love this game. I love my family. Can you please, like, I just want to play, like, one. Like, I just need to play at least next year. No, we already talked about this, and then it goes south, right? And then he just said, well, I don't know what I can do, thinks over 30 days and goes, I got to play. Like, I might as well be dead if I don't play. And the whole, like, home life just fell apart at that point.
Yeah, I mean, he's been playing, forget adding the college, the high school, the peewee. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been playing in the NFL now for 2+ decades.
Yes.
So it's so easy to understand how him being apart from it could be super difficult, right? I mean, also, look, I understand you have responsibilities at home, and I don't know the inner workings. None of us do the inner workings of their relationship, right? But you can, to a degree, understand, you know, Giselle wants him home. But he's also very blessed and works very hard to be blessed to still be able to play this game. Go, you know, ask Philip Rivers, Big Ben, Drew Brees, his counterparts.
Yes.
Who've had to hang it up, right? At younger ages than him, if they wish they could still go out there and go the way he can. Their answers all would be yes across the board. You know, and go ask guys even older than that. I guarantee you go out there and find Joe Namath and be like, man, would you play this
Sunday? If your knee held up. Yeah, exactly.
I'd be out there in a heartbeat, man, throwing a fur coat right after. Like, don't even.
Yeah, one of the few guys, right? Like, I guess John Elway, a little bit up there in his career, back-to-back Super Bowl, stepped away. Like, you know what? I'm good. I'm good. Very few athletes can do that because you still feel you're on top of your game at that point.
Right.
But it's hard to let go, and it's not so much where it's these guys are like Tom Brady's not playing for the money anymore. Like, oh man, you know, I'm gonna get the extra $25 million next year. He's not doing that. He's playing more of legacy, and also like this is the only thing I know how to do. Mm-hmm. Like once I turn this off, because you hear so many people, and some people go off in their retirement. I'm just talking about regular retirement, 65, 70 years old, hit the golf course and be fine. Some people, let's just say you're a police officer and you get your 20 years in, you're 45, 46, 47. Hey, retirement could be awesome. I'm going to fish. I'm going to golf. 3 weeks into it, I fish and I golfed every day. I enjoyed it much more because I used to do it like on the weekends and that was my release. Well, I got to take a security job. I got to get back and do something because like I don't know what to do with myself. Like imagine Tom Brady who's regimented his entire life. Poof, no regiment.
Yeah, it's who he is. Right? Like football is who Tom Brady is, you know? I also, he's such a competitor. I know the people like, oh, you got to be happy. You've done everything you can. Like he's like, I lost my last game to the Rams in a game that we came all the way back in.
Yeah.
Had the chance to win, steal, and they went on to win the Super Bowl. Would you, if they beat the Rams and results held up elsewhere, they would have been favored over the Niners. They'd have been favored over the Bengals, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, he might have went back to back, insanely enough in Tampa Bay, right? And he probably thought to himself, if I come back, we'll probably be fine. Obviously, some injuries have rocked around. You know, the other thing that's you know relatively confirmed is Tom's open to moving again in terms of franchises, right? You know. LeBron obviously had his movement. And once you move, you can go. Tom was in New England forever until he wasn't. Things are great in Tampa Bay. He's, you know, already, right, one of the greatest Bucks of all time with the Super Bowl MVP. But Tom can go to Miami or New York or Los Angeles, whatever it is. Of course Tom could. Of course Tom could, Dallas, whatever it would be, and I think he'd be very open to that.
Not open to going back to the Patriots to replace Mac Jones next year at that point. would never end up happening, but you're right about it, because when I remember last year at the end of the season, like, oh, is this the year that Tom Brady hangs him up? And I said, you know, I'm very un-Tom Brady-like, unless he called his shot before the season, this is my last year, that sour taste. Like, man, I got a good football team. Like, because granted, many teams or many players don't have that choice. You end up, maybe you go to a bad team. Like, no, that team is still ready-made talent-wise. They're not performing this year at all, and that's, you know, a different story. But he wasn't returning back with, hey, Tom, salary cap got us. Couldn't re-sign Godwin. Mike Evans will still be here. Lost two guys on your offensive line. Some of the defensive backs are gone. Do you still want to come back and play? Hey, you know what? This is going to be really tough on me. They brought everybody back and said, let's go. And also acquiesced to him by saying, hey, I'll come back if you send Bruce Arians out to pasture. No problem. Todd Bowles, head coach. That's your offense. Come on back in.
It is funny, and I can't help but make these comparisons. But if the things that happened in Green Bay happened in Tampa, Tom would not be a Buccaneer.
No way. No shot.
Like, he would not be a Buccaneer. Whether that means still retired or he would have just – or he would have gone elsewhere, like, he never would have stood for that. And yet – Rodgers and everything that's going on there.
All right, let's squeeze in a phone call here before the break. 844-843-6879. The Moose is on the loose. He's ready to get busy on a Tuesday. What's up, Moose?
Gentlemen, how are you guys? Yo. Man, the Bears, the Bears are hot. I enjoyed that game last night. And Cincinnati and Cleveland are playing on a Monday night, so that's going to be fun. But, little bit of action behind the scenes. JP gave me a message from Red Tail. If I had that Ninja air fryer, I don't have one, but my daughter does, and it's a great way of doing wings.
Yeah.
And, and as far as Halloween, Reese's. And the leftover Reese's and the Butterfingers, they go in the freezer.
Reese's.
They get crumpled up over butter pecan ice cream. Yes. And, I got a kick out of you guys' quarterback names, and I'll answer a question or ask a question and hang up. What do you think DRS is going to happen to Baker Mayfield? Oh, you guys are great.
Ah, good one. That's a good one.
Bakar.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, hey, that's just how it goes, right?
And by the way, he's right, K-Dub.
No.
He's right.
No. People are crazy.
If you're around here, like if you're around here and Moose is around here, right? JP's around here. I'm around here. You're around here. It's Reese's. Not a single person says Reese. Not a single person says Reese's.
I mean, it says it on the commercial, right? So, like, I don't feel bad. JP, where are you on the Reese's thing?
I say Reese's.
Yeah, like a normal person. Good to know.
He's just backing you up. He's just backing you up at this point.
No, why would he do that? I mean, that's
I don't think I ever.
That's like, even like, worse omen for you.
Forget about the cups. Like, forget about anything that Reese's makes. It's Reese's Pieces is the way, the correct pronunciation of the little pieces.
Oh, man.
Like, nobody is slowing down going, all right, what do you want? What snack do you want, honey? Get me a Reese's Pieces. Nah, Reese's Pieces. Come on, get it over here.
You do genuinely sound like a child.
No.
Reese's Pieces, mm-mm. Man. Reese's Pieces. Like, that's the best part about it. Like, if the word pieces is pieces, it's not pieces. No. It's like, oh, man, I cut this thing up into pieces. Like, you sound like an infant.
But, yeah, but it rolls. You just have to let it roll. Like,
you're
we say around here.
You're just saying both words wrong.
Like, give me a bottle of water. No, give me a bottle of water, man. I want water.
You're just saying both words wrong.
It's around here.
It's Reese's.
Jimmy's.
Pieces.
Let me get them Jimmy's on that cone. Extra Jimmy's, pal. Yep, guys. I know what you mean, man. Rainbow Jimmy's. Get it on here.
That's not applicable to this conversation.
But I'm just like, this is it's indigenous to my region. Let me get them Reese's Pieces over here. Done. And everybody knows what it is. Call them up. They'll tell you. By the way, I went to Hershey Park. Reese's Pieces. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Boo.
Only way to do it. Only way to do it.
Boo.
All right. We got one large segment left to go here. We're going to have some fun. I'm going to teach Kevin a lot about life coming up next. And if you want to teach him about life, call in 844-843-6879. It's Moneyline right here on a Tuesday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Top guys here, pal. Top guys here. Welcome back in the Moneyline. Tuesday afternoon, SiriusXM Channel 159 down the right side, and Kevin Walsh. Not a big board tonight here. We do got some good NBA action. If you're looking to get down on a wager, the best way to do it. Talked about it earlier already. You head over to FanDuel, and how about this? Claim a risk-free $1,000 bet, which means, Kev, put $1,000 in. Hey, let's go money line here on the Detroit Pistons. Wins? Congratulations, you're a winner. Loses? Congratulations. Here's your money back. Try again. Awesome stuff here. Head over to FanDuel to claim it. A no-sweat $1,000 in free bets. Sensational stuff. Now, this coming from DRS, who lost his, but still got his money back. So, I got a pat on the back. Like, hey, kid, get back in there. Try again. Not bad. Not bad.
Yeah, don't give up just yet. Got a lot of tires left here. So, just keep spinning. Fantastic stuff. And maybe you find that winner on that NBA slate tonight.
And on the NBA slate, it is official. Pels Williamson downgraded to out versus the Mavericks. That line currently sits at 5.5. There is a -6 here now showing up at DraftKings. We'll see if that goes any higher. But I think we both agreed this morning. That's probably already baked into the numbers, we like to say.
Yeah, it was 100% the case, right? But it is interesting. We've got that confirmation. The number has dropped a bit. So some people probably saying, all right, this is maybe a little too far. Now, it's not dropped a ton, but I think it was 6.5 this morning, if memory does serve. What I've been interested to see are these C.J. McCollum props. How about 24.5 for points? How about plus money on an over 6.5 for assists? So points plus assists is 30.5. I'm going to double check. Now, I think that's exactly what the number will be over on DK, but sometimes they're one on those combinations. They're sometimes one lighter. But same number there. Juice a little bit lighter at 30.5. That's a number that I'm going to be entertaining. Last game out where B.I. missed the entire second half, only played 11 minutes. McCollum finished with 28-12. At points plus assists, makes a lot of sense. You are on blowout watch, though, certainly.
No, I hate that. Like, it should be blowout proof. Game gets to 20 points. If you lose, you get your money back. I need that inserted in the FanDuel, DraftKings, whoever it is. That's what we need to get back in our lives. Now, quick little look here. Sunday afternoon football. It's just, 425. At least they're going to give you San Francisco and the Rams. But boy, oh boy. Like, I don't want to say this is a weekly thing. But 425 is usually saved for, you got some West Coast teams. But we're going to put a couple bangers in there because we load up 1 o'clock just so we can have that 4 o'clock time frame to make sure everybody's sitting down and watching, like, the game of the week, right? Giants-Seattle. And you say, hey, Donnie, look at that, though. Giants, 6-1 Seattle. I hear you. Washington-Indianapolis, which you figured was probably when the season started. How about this? Wentz back to take on his own team. Both these teams probably going to be at least pretty good. Not a great look here, but that's still a -3-point favorite here, even though we have backup quarterbacks in the favor of the Colts. 40 now showing up on the board. Team totals in this game, K-Dub. Colts, 20.5. Commanders, 17.5. They're low numbers. Low numbers.
They absolutely are. I mean, Heinicke has shown himself well enough that He's a legitimate player in this league, right? He's a top 40 quarterback in the National Football League. I'm excited to see what Sam Ehlinger can bring to the table. I really am. I the preseason numbers are unbelievable, and I don't expect him to replicate that. If he does, he'll be the best player in the league. You know, 10 yards per pass, completing nearly everything for multiple touchdowns a game. But it's... That Colts team needed a shakeup, and they obviously got one here. It could be bad, but at least you're going to get some mobility at the quarterback position, which certainly could go a long way.
By the way, also, quickly, looking at Sunday, we see the Chicago Bears' performance yesterday. It was great. Go on the road and hammer any football team on the road. It's a great win. But heading into that game, not very many people outside of K-Dub was like, hey, I get the Bears a chance here, even to cover. I didn't think they would cover. I didn't think they would win the game. And they blew away the Patriots. The reason I ask this is we try to take a look towards Sunday. And you say, well, look at the line. There's already a little bit of a buyback here. It was 10.5 at FanDuel at one point, meaning the Dallas Cowboys at home favorite over the Bears, more than double digits. We're now down where it's I don't even think there's no more 10s on the board. They're 9.5s straight across. The Chicago Bears, one of those teams, do we feel like they're getting better each and every week because they're quarterback? Because if we look at the schedule, they beat San Francisco opening day. Now, the one down spot was at Green Bay. They lost by 17 points. They beat Houston, played within a score of the Giants, a score of the Vikings, a score of Washington, and blew out New England. Is that number too high now in the Bears? Or are we just going to say, like, wow, the Bears' offense is still a little bit challenged, even though they had a good performance yesterday, 147 yards in the air was all the cumulative number that they got. Is that going to play out against the Cowboys' defense? Or are we just expecting, oh, the Cowboys are just going to beat them down and they won't score more than 10 points in this one? Like, what is that outlook now on the Bears? Has it changed? Like, not really a contender, but they're not a doormat because their season doesn't dictate that either.
Right, yeah. 3-4 is the record of good teams in this league. So you cannot hand wave the Chicago Bears, but more importantly, that team right now could be 1-6. It's about that game that they just played against the New England Patriots. It was the best use that we have seen of in the young career, really, of Justin Fields. And if they are able to replicate that, then you could be set up for what is really a great, great situation now where the team totals get interesting, the props get interesting. And as you said, you know, you might be able to bet a couple of more weeks before things turn around and people accept just who this team is going to be.
Yeah, let me check on FanDuel here. I just want to check one thing. Team total here for the Bears is 15.5. Now, if you guys are out there, it's a shame that Bet365, I think, is only in two states, New Jersey, I want to say Colorado. But they usually have a pretty fast, you know, shot up of team totals, and it's usually better than FanDuel for the most part. They got a 14.5 for the Bears. 14.5. That's a number that they were, like, hanging for the Carolina Panthers 2 weeks ago, the 13.5s and the 14s. It seems really low. The Cowboys at 26.5. But I want to know, like, are we turning the corner? Because they're still, you know, 19 points opening day, not a lot. 10 points against Green Bay, 12 against the Giants, 7 against Washington, and then 33 last night. Like, I'm trying to get a feel for what to anticipate from the Bears. Because the one thing that you do like, young quarterback getting confidence, that's always a good thing. Maybe I'll pull the string a little bit more. Maybe I have a little bit more confidence in the offense. Maybe my coordinator is finally starting to see me after a couple games and say, you know what? I know what works with this guy and what he's comfortable with.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. You know, Fields obviously is a different player to what the league offers up in general. So it's absolutely reasonable that there was an adjustment period from both parties. I think we so often say Fields is adjusting to the new scheme, right? But maybe the coaches in the room are like, look, we are not sure how to use this guy 100% yet, but give us some time. We are going to figure this thing out. And, you know, that's what happens. It takes, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals last year, right? They go to the Super Bowl. It's like, oh, it's one of the best offenses in football, right? But they had struggles early season, right? We talk about it. The Chiefs were under 500 last year, a couple of weeks in. The Niners under 500 last year, a couple of weeks in. I'm not saying the Bears are going to the Super Bowl or going to be the Chiefs or the Niners that play in the conference championships. Mm-hmm. But if the I think my biggest point I keep coming back to, if I would have told you on draft day that Justin Fields in his second season would lead the Chicago Bears to a playoff berth, you would say, sounds about right. And that's why I keep coming back to this idea that will they? I'm not sure. But punting on the season, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, no, they're certainly interesting topics, you know, to move through on that because there's so much that even though, hey, Donnie, you know, we're past two or three games, you should know a lot about the football team. Still learning a lot about the Bears because it is a new staff working with a new quarterback that maybe they're starting to get it together, like, hey, maybe we should call more design runs. Maybe that is a benefit here to our quarterback to actually, you put him in a little bit more harm's way, yes, but it opens up the entire offense where the defense can't go, we know he doesn't want to run the football, let's not worry about anything. Now when he's doing design runs, you have to worry about that. And he made a couple athletic plays on the run. Forget about running the football, throwing on the run, which is what he's so talented at doing here. Talking about another quarterback situation here. Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock. New England Patriots, we saw last night, weren't very good. We don't even know who the quarterback's going to be. You saw how dismal that performance was. You see the Jets winning football games. The Jets crowd's going to be on fire as it is every time, good or bad, they play the New England Patriots. Are we surprised here that New England is a favorite in this game? Record's better for the Jets. Outlook, I guess, right now is a little bit more rosy, even though you lost your running back. I understand that, but it is a running back. But New England feels like it really could go off the rails this week, but yet they're still a favorite.
Yeah, I think actually it is surprising. Now, it's minimal movement we're talking about here, but if that 1.5 was the other direction, I would think, okay, no problem, right? And I know that in the grand scheme, like, who cares? 1.5 point favorite here, 1.5 point favorite here. Is the game going to land one? But that's 3 points of movement. To go down from 1.5 to pick and back up to 1.5 towards the Jets. That's where I would have thought this number would be. I know there's aspects of the Jets that people don't believe, but why does New England get so much of a benefit of the doubt that we need to be believing into them?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't want to say the jury's out. But, you know, 10 games under 500 in a career without your best quarterback. And granted, you can't be a good coach in the NFL without a decent enough quarterback. But it's just sometimes it's fun. And I told you earlier, like, I don't really root against football teams unless you're betting against them. But it just felt like when the arrogance starts to creep in, like with how the offseason went for the Patriots, and, you know, maybe even that fire got stoked even more where Belichick, the genius, throwing 3 times in windy conditions where the Buffalo Bills continued to drive into New England range and just kept on shooting themselves in the foot was somehow great the game plan was for New England. But coming into the season, just the arrogance, like, no. Young quarterback here, you're going to put Matt Patricia as a deep because you want to just say that you're smarter than everybody and that'll work. And I still do love the fact that, like, who's your offensive coordinator? And we don't go by those titles. But yet every single year before this, everybody had a title in that organization. It's just fun, the arrogance to root against for me.
Maybe it's arrogance, but I just, wouldn't you think that Belichick would have his pick of the litter as it pertains to potential offensive coordinators, guys that are looking to grow through organizations, right? Uh-huh. Like McDaniels went to Denver, flamed out, was given a job with the Colts. He burned them in such a disgraceful way, and then he still got a huge job with the Vegas Raiders, right? Like, by being in Foxborough, like, that just should have been it's such an easy job to sell people on. And yet, it's just old defensive coordinators manning the ship. It's really bizarre.
Like all those pipelines like that he has, like him and Saban being good friends. And sometimes you forget that like Brian Daboll was the offensive coordinator for Alabama before he wound his way up in Buffalo. It's like you reach out to Saban. Hey, look, man, I'm trying to be innovative with my offense out here. You guys had Mac Jones. What are we looking for out here? And Nick Saban returns the phone call. You know, it's going to be great for you. Put Matt Patricia as your offensive coordinator and thank me later. Take no shot. Like, reach out, Bill. Get some help there. Help your young quarterbacks. One more segment to go. We'll give you some picks before we ride off into the sunset today on Moneyline for a Tuesday. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment of the day here for a Tuesday on Moneyline. Like to get busy, like to have some fun, like to try to give out some free winners here on the show. Now, usually we got Major League Baseball. So, is this the first week that we come here on a Tuesday, try to give out some plays, and there's no baseball? We have no
probably
football.
In a while, right?
Yeah. So it looks like, you know, we're just, I don't want to say stuck with the NBA because there's some pretty good options out here. I'm going to keep it simple. I'm going to ride with Golden State tonight. I don't want any points. I don't want +1.5. If it comes out to a 3 late, so be it. I'll take the +108 on the Golden State Warriors tonight to beat the Phoenix Suns. JP, where are you going tonight again? Let the people know.
I'm going with the Pistons on the money line.
Boom. We're money lines. KJ, sets the stage here for old K-Dub.
Yeah, what do I got to do? I guess I'll take the Pels outright then.
Whoa!
I'll take the Thunder. Well, man. I'm saying I got to pick one, right, based on what's left here. So I might as well go Pels. Look for CJ McCollum, points and assists in that game. I'm waiting on a John Wall prop here. You know, the Suns-Warriors game, I'm looking under. Quickly, did you see the boost board tonight?
Oh, let me click on it. All right, so we got Luka Doncic and Cade Cunningham to combine for 55-plus points. Doing simple math, one guy gets 30, one guy gets 25. That gets you to the window. It's plus 230. It's not plus 100. Okay, I understand. Devin Booker to score 25 points and Steph Curry to make four or more threes on the road. Now, that price isn't all that high at plus 200, boosted from plus 115. It feels doable, but neither one of these am I going, like, you know what? You got to get in on it, right?
It's fine. It's not a must play. If that was three threes and 20 points, a plus 100, it would be. But it's fine.
You'll take it. You're fine.
The Doncic Cade one bothers me though. That should be 50 points. That should not be 50. I need Luka to score 35.
How about each guy to get 20 points? I mean, come on. Can't we just get that?
Yeah. Right.
Each one in the 20s, cash that ticket. By the way, we should be having a real hyped football game here on Thursday. Ravens, Buccaneers. Man, so many different ways to go on that one. It'll be interesting to find out. But that'll do it for today's show. For JP, Donnie, and Kevin, it's Moneyline. And we will be back tomorrow.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Memorial Day deals are here at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances, including Samsung. Plus, save an extra $50 on every $500 you spend on select major appliances, $396 or more, like the Samsung Bespoke French Door Refrigerator featuring Beverage Center and Dual Ice Maker. Shop at Lowe's today. We help. You save. Valid 5/15 through 6/18. Selection varies by location. Total savings varies based on purchase amount. See Lowe's.com for details.